Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh is daf Kuf Chet, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on Kuf Zayin Amud Beit, near the bottom. So we have been talking about, remember, two Piskei Halachas of Hanan, and we've had the two Piskei Halachas that we're going to be talking about. We talked about the first one, and that got us into the Machlokas of Rab and Shmuel. And this is the second one. And then we're going to get into the seven of Admon. But remember that the whole parak was basically introduced by that first Mishnah about Hanan and Admon. So the second one of Hanan's famous Piskei Halachas that the Chachomim disagreed with was the following. Mishalach l'minyanat hayam. Another thing that's nogea, the same type of situation. A husband disappears, and a kind neighbor goes ahead. Somebody goes, takes care of his wife, however long it is that he was away. Hanan says, well, he's a very nice guy, but he ain't going to get his money back. He baited Melotav. The guy doesn't want to pay him when he returns. He's not mechuyev to pay him. And basically, the idea over here is that in general, when somebody is doing something for someone else and he does not have permission to do it, and what he did was just the preventation of a suit, which would have cost him money, or of things that would have happened to him that would have cost him money, that is called Mavriach Ari. And if Gavi is able to review this after he finishes driving, Mavriach Ari, no deal. The Rebbe is getting on. Okay. So this is Mavriach Ari. You chased a lion away. You cannot be paid for chasing lions away. In this case, the lion, of course, was the suit that the wife was going to bring to court and that he prevented by taking care of her. And whereas the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim Amru, they were Nech Lekuvi Amru. No. All he has to do is take a Shvuah and how much he had paid, and then he's able to actually veto. Now, note that what we're talking about over here, remember that we just had the case, in the case of the Mama Enid, where she borrowed money. If this guy lends money, then for sure he could come back and ask for the money back. She's we have to pay him back, and she goes and sues her husband. We're talking about over here where he's a nice guy. He doesn't talk about it, and he simply goes and he sends her food. Omer Reb Dosa ben Hurkanis kidivrehem. So Reb Dosa ben Hurkanis again, in this case, agreed with the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim, who say that even a Mavriach Ari is able to demand his money. Whereas Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Yafe Omar Hanan. Hanan is absolutely correct. He niach ma'otav al keren hatzvi. Basically, he put his money on the horns of a deer, and the deer is zoomed. He just zoomed off with it. I dare you to catch up with them. Those deer are pretty fast. So Tananos, now we do have a mission in the Dorim that Hamudar Hana'a Michaviro, which seems to be exactly this case. A guy is Mudar Hana'a from somebody else. And that means that he basically has ossered this person from being Nana from him in any way. So he would like to help the guy out, but the guy is also to be nene from him. So what happens if that person owes money? Well, let's discuss what the money is. He owes, let's say, the machzis hashekel that he has to give every year, right? So this friend, who is not allowed to be mahana the person, nonetheless can pay his machzis hashekel, because that's not considered, for some reason, to be a hana'a. Shigamar will discuss. He can be poreat chovo, and he can even pay off a debt that he owed. Now, this sure seems very similar to the question in our mission about Mavriach Ari, whether it's worth money or not. I mean, you can see where we're heading here. Umachazir lo avedato. He sees this guy's aveda in the street, so he can pick up his wallet and give it back to him. Ubemakom shenotelim sachar. How about in places where you are allowed to be paid for the work that you do by returning somebody's aveda, which we'll see the sugya in Bava Metzia, that you could get basically your schar batola and so on. And That's for sure. We're talking over here where you're just getting paid for the plain old work. So what happens over there? So there, tipol hana'a lehegdesh. So over there, of course, the Mishnah is talking about over here, not in the case where we started with, but we're talking about where they answered each other bahana'a. So then the money that he was going to get from the other person should be given to hegdesh. All these cases will be spoken out in their mock. So now, bishlama shokelo et shiklo, I understand why we're going to allow him to pay a machzis shekel, because he's not really giving him any kind of personal favor. He wants to do a mitzvah, because the truth is, as Rashi says, as we saw in Masech Shkalim, he is anyway, whether he pays his shekel or not, he's going to have the same zechuster karbonas, and therefore he didn't really give him anything. So why is he paying it? He's paying it to do a mitzvah. That has nothing to do with Shimon. That's between him and the Lord. And why do we say that he's not really giving him anything? Because remember back in Shkalim, the sugya, the tnan. Or mimala avut, when they take the machzis hashekel from the lishka sagozis, so from the lishka, so then they're taking it even for people whose machzis hashekel were lost on the way, people whose machzis hashekel were already paid but were on the way, and people whose machzis hashekel was not even collected. So therefore, even if he hadn't paid, he's going to be included in the truma, which will pay for the karbonos, which are going to be a kapara for him. We can even understand why there's no problem of machzir aveda, because basically he's also doing a mitzvah. In other words, what's the problem? He's giving him the money value. It's his own money value. Elamai, that he was the one that brought it as the Akshavas, that he did for God. That has nothing to do with him. And that's not a specific monetary value. So because of that, that's mitzvah kaveh. But how in the world can he pay off a debt? I don't understand. I mean, that's straight out cash. Isn't he in a position of making this person enriched by what it is that he did? I mean, this guy saved $100,000 because of him. That's solid hana'ah, if you ask anybody. Omer Rav Hoshaya, you know, this is going according to our Mishnah. That explains everything. This is going according to Chanan. Chanan says that if you paid a debt that's owed, what was the case? You paid the debt that was owed by a husband to his wife from his zonot. And he said, ibeded me'otav. So apparently, you see that according to Chanan, it is not considered to be giving somebody something, because it's mavriya chari. So then the same thing is true over here. Preventing someone from losing money is not considered to be a direct hana'a. It's an indirect hana'a. And because of that, the same way that the husband doesn't have to pay back, according to Chanan, the kind person who supported his wife, this person doesn't really owe anything to the person who paid up his debt. So therefore, it's not considered to be a measurable hana'a. And because of that, there's no problem of the Isser Nedarim. Whereas Rava says, you don't have to say it's going according to Chanan. It could be going according to anybody. It could even be going according to Rabbanan. Because you know what we could be talking about in the Mishnah here? We could be talking about a case where somebody borrowed money without fixing a date for payment. So in other words, this guy gives him a loan and says, look, when you're able to, pay me. This guy comes along and he pays it. Well, there was no pressure on the borrower to pay. So therefore, we say, well, he didn't have to pay. So if you paid up, we don't consider that to become mishtar shilei. And therefore, it would work out even on Libet Rabbanan. Because in this case, there's no actual financial difference to him, even though this person paid it for him. So wait a minute. I understand why Rava wouldn't want to say like Rav Hoshaya, because Rav Hoshaya only made the Mishnah work out according to Chanan, and obviously Rav wants to make it go according to the Rabbanan too, because he's looking like Rabbanan. But Rav Hoshaya, I mean, why did he want to make it work out only a little bit of Chanan? If he could have given the same answer that Rav did, that we're talking about the type of loan that didn't have any specific time for repayment, right? Rav Hoshaya, no, I don't agree. Because the truth is, you're looking at it from purely the bottom line. And you're measuring hana'a only in terms of that bottom line. So to you, either it's a financial benefit or it's no benefit at all. But I don't see why that's true. I mean, I understand that there's no financial issue, but kisufa miletli. I mean, doesn't this guy feel intense embarrassment by never paying up the loan? So therefore, basically, that itself is ana'a. So even though there's no specific term of payment, this person is going to be under a tremendous sense of moral imperative all the time that he's got to pay this back, which you remove from him. And therefore, that itself is considered to be a hana'a. So in the sense that now he doesn't have to go through this. Okay, there's a little bit of a girsa issue in this last piece, because on the surface, to say is not adding anything, is it? Didn't you just say that? But you asked, what about the fact that he is being embarrassed? So why are you answering again? There is anah, because he's embarrassed. That's exactly what you just said. So therefore, it could be that the way to understand the first line is basically the way I understood it, the way I explained it to you. And that was the way the Ritva understands it, namely, that the first approach was that the moral imperative is basically a financial gain. Because in the end, the guy's going to have to pay off the loan simply because he's not going to be able to bear not paying it off. And so therefore, it is a actual financial difference. But just the avoidance of the pain of embarrassment is not going to be considered to be a hana'a. Masha Enkein, the way we're learning now, if this is, some even have a lotion of Lishna Akrina, like the Bach has it, right? Lishna Akrina, this is a different approach. And a Lishna Akrina is subtly different. According to this, the very fact that you would be willing to pay to avoid that embarrassment is itself considered to be a hana'a. And now we're ready for our first take on Sir Richard, who has been released, especially early release from the emergency room today, because we informed the hospital that he's needed for the Mishnah. So if he wants to stay out of the hospital, he better remain prepared to introduce all of these Mishnayos. Go for it. I've heard of records where people were reported to be 165 years old because of the fact that they continued to be introducing Halakha Mishnas. I didn't hear afterwards how much longer it went.
But, I'll go for that.
Okay, so now let's talk about, we talked about the two Piskei Halachos of Chanan, the Machlokas of the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim, the others who got involved into the Machlokas. Now we're moving on to the seven Piskei Halachos of Admon. So Admon Amar Shiva. Let's start with number one. Mi Shemet V'niach Banim Uvanot, famous Psak. The difference between Nechasim Rubim and Nechasim Muatim. So somebody dies. He has sons and he has daughters who are unmarried. And the problem is that he has committed to continue to provide support for those daughters. So the question is, if there is sufficient value in this man's estate to pay for a lot. Now, we don't know here what a lot is. However, the question of what a lot is really a machlokas and is a question of whether it's a 12 months worth of support or whether it's support until puberty. In any event, whatever it means, when there's a lot, meaning there's enough for both the banim and banot for the requisite period, so then the din is that the banim get their yerusha and the banot are provided with the mizonos in the interim. But if there's insufficient to go around, then as we've seen many times, habanot yizonu, we have the crazy situation where the Chachamim were metakein that the children, the females, get their nechasim, the asirit that they were promised in one false sweep, and that's theirs. And therefore, the children won't, the boys won't have anything. So the boys could go bang on people's doors to collect, if necessary. Demon Omer, that's not fair. This is crazy. What are these woke madmen? Just because I'm a male, I don't get to go to college? I mean, what's the logic in that? And we're going to see what this specifically means. Omar Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Ani Adivrei Admon. That seems to make a lot of sense to me. So we're going to discuss it. When you say, because I'm male, therefore I lose, what exactly are you saying? Because it seems to be saying that if anything, if I'm a male, I should have more. So why should I lose? Does it make sense that you're not going to be providing money for people in Kailel? I'm like, Rabbi, what are you talking about? What are you saying? Only a guy in Kailel is allowed to inherit the money? I'm like, what's he saying? This is meant to be something that has to do with maleness, not Kailel, no? So, Manda Asik Betorah, Rudi Yoris, Manda Lo Asik Betorah, Lo Yoris. They're discussing an inheritance over here. Why are we talking about Kailel? I don't believe that that is the issue. I mean, because, I mean, what Abai seems to be saying, if a guy has two heirs, one of whom is in Kailel and one of whom isn't in Kailel, only one in Kailel is Yoresh. I mean, it would be the same Taina. I mean, who ever heard of such a thing? This is, Akiva, you were the one who said something. I think we had a little bit of confusion about Joburg time. Oh, man. Okay. Yes. Anyway. Is that what happened? Were you thinking Joburg time, 7:30? I was wondering.
That's why I sent the WhatsApp, because
I know. Okay, I don't know what to do. I mean, I was surprised, but I figured, okay, if it's good for them, and the Big N said that it was fine. Oh, yeah. That's terrible. Anyway, so that's not the pshat. Obviously, that's not the pshat. Ela Amar Rava Hakikama. What we have to explain is, what he's saying is, look, because I am a Zohar, I mean, the Zohar is the one that is the essential Yoresh. This business that the Chachamim were Metakein, they were Metakein that to take away the Yerusha, they were Metakein to give us Yeret HaNechasim to the women. So it doesn't make sense that the Iker Yoresh should lose out on his Yerusha. And because of that, if there were Nechasim Merubin, I would be the one who would be Yoresh them. And now I should be Mafsid B'Nechasim Muatim completely. Does this make sense? So we shouldn't be worse off than the girls, and we should be at least the same as the girls. Remember that we said before, the only basis of this whole thing is because of the problem of the bizoyan for the girls who would have to go around begging, and therefore the original takana was part of this whole concept, as we said, of shoktu for the female position. Which brings us back to our kapitan.
I hope I'm not being overworked, otherwise.
I warned you.
Capitol Records asked for the recording of 20 years of Richie saying, Zok Tehele Kamish, the Funkta Neleperik. They want to have the whole range of voices, of tones, of intonations. They think it'll be a bestseller.
Put it next to Yosela.
That's
Zok Tehele Kamishnah.
Okay, now here is number two of Admon's Piskei Halachas. So up until now, we've been dealing with issues of Ketuvot, actually, and Dinim of Misonot, and things that are related to the Tanai HaKetuvah. Now we move off to some general Piskei Halachas, and one of them was like this. Remember that we have a din of Modeh B'Miktzat HaTa'ana. So Modeh B'Miktzat HaTa'ana is Kihuze, it says in the Pasuk. So if somebody is agreeing that part of what you're saying is true, and part of what you're saying is not true. If a guy comes and says, you owe me $100, and the guy says, I do owe you $50, I don't know where the heck you come off saying $100. In that case, we have a chiyuv of a shvua, which is called a shvua on a modeh b'miktzat. Now, the question is, in a case where somebody claims that you owe me something, and the person agrees that he owes him something, but it's something entirely different from what the person said he's owed. Let's say the guy says, you owe me for the 10 bottles of wine that you took from me. And the guy says, I took 5 bottles of oil from you. There's no connection between the tefiyah and between the hodah. That's not called moda b'miktzat hatayna, according to any of the shittas that we're going to be discussing here anyway. So here is an interesting question. A guy says, you owe me jugs of shemen. So the guy says, I do owe you jugs, but there wasn't any shemen in it. So Admon Omer, well, he was at least moda to part of it, wasn't it? I mean, he agreed that he owed him the empty kankanim. So he has to swear. For Chachamim Omrim, this is two completely different issues. Ein hoda'at miktzat mimin hata'ana. What he's saying over here is not half of what the claim was. It's a completely different type of issue, which the Gemara is going to discuss. And therefore, he is not mechuyev at all for a shvua. Omer Rabbi Gamliel, ro'eh ani et divrei Admon. I think Admon is right about this, and it is considered to be hoda'ah mimin hata'ana. Rebbe, hoda'ah mimin hata'ana. Okay, so, I mean, apparently, what the machlokas seems to be here would prove from the Rabbanan that if somebody says, you owe me both wheat and barley, chitim usa'orim, and the guy says, no, I only owe you sa'orim. Well, that's the case over here. You owe me oil and containers. And he says, no, I owe you containers. And you see from here that according to the Rabbanan, who say that Admon is wrong, that the halacha would be that you don't have to make a shvua. It was only Admon who said you need to make a shvua. So doesn't that disprove Rav Nachman on Hashmuel? Because the Yom Rav Nachman on Hashmuel, in the event that a guy says, you owe me A plus B, and the guy is made on B and not on A, and these are two completely unrelated things, so then you are chayev. So how come we don't bring a raya from this Mishnah against Rav Nachman on Hashmuel? Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, you don't understand. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where he was referring to an amount. He said containers because there were standard containers of oil. So he was saying, you owe me 5 bottles of oil, but they weren't even in bottles. They were basically in an oil storage bar where it was manufactured. And all he was saying is how much you owe me. So the only reason he used the word kankanim is to define the standard liter, let's say kankan. Nah, come on, that's crazy. Then Admon would never have argued on that. Then there was bichlal, nothing in common. I understand. The guy says, you owe me oil, and he says, I owe you popcorn. And what's the difference if he says, I owe you jars? What does that have to do with the tefiyah? That can't be the Mishnah. You're right. Says Rava, I'll tell you what the pshat is. Everybody is made. There's no machlokas between Admon and the Chachamim. In the event that the tvi'ah was, melo asara kadei shemen yesh li beborcha, there is the inside content of 10 jugs of oil that I have stored in your bor that keeps oil. That was the standard. That's the bor right next to the press, right? So it's always called the bar. He's telling him an amount. So of course, in that case, nobody's going to argue. He only wanted the oil. He didn't say a word about any containers at all. That's for sure. If he says to him, I have 10 kadei shemen meleim yeshvitzka, I have 10 full jugs of oil. So then obviously he is asking for both the oil and the container of the oil. And there for sure, there's no question that he would be, at least according to Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, he would certainly be chayiv. So that's not the issue. You know what the issue is in the Mishnah? Ki plige, where he said to him, Asora kade shemen yeshli etzlecha. The issue is how to explain the words. He didn't say Asora kadim that are full of shemen. He said Asora kade shemen. So that's machlokas. What does he mean? So Admon says, Asora kade shemen is used to be a reference to the containers as well. Because if he weren't asking for the containers, so then he would have said Melo Asora kadim. Why would he say Asora kadim? He would have said the word Mulo, which implies the contents of Asora kadim. If he starts talking about Asora kadim as an actual thing, then that's what he's talking about, Shemen and kadim. Whereas the Chachamim say, not necessarily. If he didn't say Mleim, so then he wasn't necessarily referring to kadim, and he could have used that word without the word Mulo to refer just to the contents. That's Gufa the Machlokas. So, okay, let me just ask you something. So then according to what you're saying, that the only reason that the Chachamim said that this is not going to be something that you swear on is because they hold it's a language issue. We're talking about a semantic argument over here. That's what you're saying. It's purely a semantic argument. So then the time would be, but what would be the din if it were Lashon Kankanim? They would have agreed. You're saying everybody would agree, of course. Then you do have to swear. So then if that's the case, then we should bring a raya from here as a tiyufta who against Reb Chiya Bar Abba, who paskins actually, that in the case where somebody wants two different things, chitim v'se'orim, and he agrees to one of them, that he would be potter. And here you're saying everybody agrees. Admon, the Chachamim, everybody agrees that he's chayim. The only reason the Chachamim say he's not chayim is because they say he never asked them for that. Fine, semantically. So how come we don't bring this as a riot against Reb Chiya Bar Abba? Reb Shimi Bar Ashi, look, when you're talking about oil and the containers of the oil, that's like saying a pomegranate and the skin of the pomegranate. I mean, that goes together, you know? I mean, it's like one thing. How are you supposed to? I mean, that's what a pomegranate is, the pomegranate with the peel of the pomegranate. A bottle of oil is an oil with glass around it. So that's different. That's like one thing. What is that supposed to be? Rimon. I mean, a rimon below klipata lominta. You cannot sell a peeled rimon for heaven's sakes. It's not going to be able to be stored. There's nothing to protect it. But oil? Oil isn't stored in glass jars. It's stored in these pits until the time comes that somebody comes, brings a container, and takes it. That can't be the pshat. Elohachamah is kinan. I'll tell you, said Ravina. We're talking about over here where the guy had said, Asora kade shemen yeshli etzlecha. I have 10 containers of oil stored by you. And the other guy said to him, oil? What are you talking about? I never saw any oil from you. Shemen, lo eyu dvarim me'olam, didn't take anything of oil from you. I did, however, take kankanim, but there's 5. There's not 10. So I have to give you back the 5 that you put here, but there's 0 oil. So in other words, we're talking about over here that he wasn't using them as a measurement. So therefore, so Admon Omer, Yesh b'lashon hazeh lashon kankanim. If he says, Asara kadeshemen yesh li etzlecha, so then that includes the kadim. And therefore, the guy's got to swear because Migo to Kamishta Ba Akan Kanim. Point over here is that he's going to swear about the whole business. Because once he has to swear about the Kankanim part, so now there's a halacha of Gilgal Shvua, and you swear on everything that the person is asking for once you have to make a Shvua anyway. And because of that, Mishtaba Nami Hashem and Al Yedei Gilgul, Rebbe, Gilgul Shvua. So you have to swear because it's a rolling shvua, so to speak. Once it is, you're already going to make a shvua to him. About the kankanim, you're going to have to make a shvua already, even on the oil. Masha Inkin, the Rabbanon are saying the Lashon over here is not necessarily kankanim. It's only the amount of oil. And therefore, Masha Tano, Lohodalo, Masha Odalo, Lotano. And therefore, this has nothing to do with the case that you're trying to disprove. It's similar to the normal case where the guy wanted wheat and I'm made to barley. Those are two different things, according to the Rabbanon. So we cannot use this in order to disprove Reb Chiya bar Abba, which brings us back to a highly overworked Richie, who's probably going to make it past 165 by taking care of this Mishnah too. Get to it, Rich. Number three of Admon. Haposek ma'ot lechatano. A guy promises the world to his son-in-law. And he's going to support him in Kailal for 20 years, you know? This is his son-in-law, however, only because of Kedusha. They haven't gone to the Chuppah yet. And then, Pashat lo at haregel. Then he bankrupts on him. So, okay, there's very various approaches over here. The real meaning, we know that the concept of Pashat lo at haregel and Chazal is really a sense of bankruptcy. But what we're talking about over here is that it wasn't real bankruptcy. He just tells him, okay, here it is. You can take all the dust that you can find on my foot and sell it. You know what it means? Okay, here's my feet. Try hanging me from the roof by my feet. See if you can get any money out of my pockets. Whatever. But basically, I ain't giving you a penny. So then the chassan can say, okay, we'll wait until you're ready to pay up before I go to the chuppah. When you notice that your daughter's hair is starting to turn white, you might change your mind. They shave Achet Talbin Rosha. Let her sit here until her hair turns white. I'm never going to take her to the chuppah. I'll find somebody else. Admon Omer, remember, normally you have a maximum of 12 months from the time in which you were the Kaddish until the time that you take it to the chuppah. After that, we start really putting the screws on you. But in this case, since daddy never performs, we don't put the screws on you. Admon Omer, Admon says, but she could say, hey, wait a minute here. I mean, if I had promised you the money, you know, you can make me tzaras. What am I supposed to do? You know, anipa sakti lets me echev achital bin roshi. Now, I got a bum for a father. What am I supposed to do? Hazmani yechola lasot. Okanos, either take me as I am or give me a get. You can't make me wait around. I'm Rabbi Gamliel. Lo e'ani et divrei Admon. Seems to make a lot of sense what Admon is saying. Now, the Mishnah, the way we have it here, the machlokas between Admon and the Chachamim, is a totally different case than what appears in the following brisa. Matnitinda lo ke'aitana, the Tanya. Nobody disagrees that if the machlokas here was between daddy and son-in-law, that she doesn't suffer because of that, even though, according to Rishalmi, it's talking about that it was all done in front of her and so on. That is irrelevant. Of course she can say, this is not my business. What am I supposed to do about it? On the contrary, the only machlokas was, as opposed to what Armish said, the only machlokas was where she herself had made the promise. So Ashaposka yi al atzma, and daddy was there, shechachamim omrim, teishev achital bin rosha. She said that daddy's going to support you for 12 years in Kailo, whatever, right? So Admon says, well, nonetheless, yecholai shetomar kisfurani shabanatina. Look, I mean, you know, my father always led me to believe, darling, when you get married, there's nothing to worry about. I will take care of you and your husband. You just tell him everything will be good. Anyway, what am I supposed to do? So I was misled, you know. But if he's not going to do it, what am I supposed to do? Obviously, I don't have my own money. Okanos opatar. So according to this version, Admon was not going to agree in a case where she said it herself, and not like our Mishnah says. And even in the case where she did say it herself, Admon still says she could say ma'ani yechola la'asot. And according to this, Rabbi Gamliel said, yes, I believe Admon is right. Tana. The question is what this refers to. Rashi understands that it's referring to what we just said in the Braita. So where do we say that if she promised it herself, that according to the Tanakama, he can actually say, so let your hair turn white? That's only where she was a Gedolah. But if she was a Ketana, everybody agrees that, of course, we force him to either give a get or to be Machnes. Because and how can a Ketana make promises? Well, you say we're kofin. What do you mean? Who are we kofin? To the father? That doesn't make any sense. It should say just the opposite. It should say that if she was a Ketana, then we're not going to be kofin. Because, I mean, the fact that a Ketana said something in front of him doesn't mean anything. But maybe if she's a Gedola, maybe we would force. I don't know what you're saying, but certainly that tends in the wrong direction. No. Yeah. Ela Marav or not doesn't mean kofin. The father means kofin labali ten get. It means we force the husband to free her. And he cannot say, let her sit here till her hair turns white. Or maybe it's took Benelazar Mishmei to Chizkiya. That koma kom, sha'amar Rav Gamliel, ro'eh aniyat yivrei Admon, halacha kamoto. So any of the cases, the seven cases, it is going to be halacha if Rav Gamliel agreed with him. So then that means that the three things that we mentioned over here, where it says Rav Gamliel agrees, there we paskin like him. But in all the other cases, we don't have that, Rav Gamliel. Apparently, we don't paskin like him. That's what it seems to be saying. Huh. Is that true? That we have to see. So Rav asked Rav Nachman, this psak that wherever Rav Gamliel agrees, that the psak goes according to him. Is this even where in the Braita it appears, or does it mean only in a Mishnah? So would that mean afilo bebraita? Now, in the Braita that we just had, this Braita had a completely different version than the Mishnah, right? But even where she herself had made the commitment, and it says over there in the Braita, the Rav Gamliel says, Royani is divrei Admon. So are we saying that the halacha would be like Rav Gamliel if the Braisa is the correct way of reading the machlokas? So Rav Nachman said to him, does it say anywhere over here, kol makom shemakom she'amar Rav Gamliel halacha kamoto b'mishnah? It says kol makom she'amar Rav Gamliel, wherever. So that doesn't matter whether it's in a Mishnah or in a Braita. Now, that doesn't mean that this particular case, it's like that, because over here we have a machlokas between a Mishnah and a Braita. Why would we assume that the halacha is like the girsa in the Braita? May mean in other places. Okay, this is machlokas, big machlokas, we're showing you how it affects the psak in our case. Now, Om Rebbe Zira, Om Rabba Bar Yirmiya, you should know, in terms of psak halacha, so the two things that we said at the beginning of the parak, the shnei dvarim, she'amar Hanan, halacha, there we go according to that. And the halacha is, keyotzebo, 100%. But the shiva dvarim, she'amar Admon, in halacha keyotzebo. Masha'enkein, the seven things that Admon says, we do not paskin like him.